Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi there and welcome to episode Hi there and welcome to episode 110 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, back after a short break, which definitely wasn't due to me being sad. I'm James Brown, the man who thinks Channel 5's Peter and Jane We Write Words is the media. And as usual, I'm joined by the man who holds the record for appearing on Akten Zeichen X Upsilon Ungelost, which is the German crime watch, if you're not sure, Dr. Alex Connor. And of course, the woman who believes anything the media tells her, including facts about badger's jaws, Mrs. ADHD.
The media didn't tell me that. Life experience did. Was that right, Al, what he said?
It wasn't bad. It's ungelöst. Not. Well, it wasn't.
I'm
wasn't
glad
bad,
there was actually a minor correction. I'm glad.
Yeah. And it should be Zeichen, not Zeichen.
Alex, hi.
Don't have nightmares. Do sleep well. That's what they said on Crime Watch. I looked it up. And then I looked up the German for nightmares, which is Albträume, which sort of means silly dreams, which I think is much better than nightmare.
You know, for about 10 or 15 episodes, I forgot what your hellos were for. And honestly, I wondered, why is he saying these things? And I finally remembered the whole point of it. Anyway, Sam.
What's the point of it?
To annoy James. It's,
yes.
Oh. Oh, good one. Hi.
Short and sweet, as always. How are you both, Mrs. ADHD? First,
all right, all right. You know, we were obviously last week we were all very sad. This week I'm all right. I've done my talk, so I'm feeling relieved about that. And I'm a gardener now, but I'll go into more detail on Thursday.
Amazing.
A teaser trailer.
And Alex, oh, how are you?
I'm not. Excellent. Thank you, James.
That was good. I like that.
I want to talk about it. Fine. Oh, man. Yeah, podcast-wise, I'm excellent, though. The stats guy's been at it again, though. I have to apologise to everybody. The graph he sent us last week looked like all the other graphs he sent, but apparently it was worth a WhatsApp message at 5 o'clock in the fucking morning. We have no idea what's happening with all these people listening, but we're grateful. What we do know is that one of them sent us a letter.
Did they?
Yes, they did. It was a Robert from Kidderminster in a way. And it says, I listened to your episode on Lexithymia and Alex's victims couldn't express their feelings either because he used duct tape on them and someone's changed the fake letter, haven't they? That's not... I don't think Robert would write about me, is all
lots
I'm saying.
Lots of people thought that Lexithymia was just something we'd made up because it was your name and that we were going to have a Jamesithymia next week. Which I like.
Alexithymia kind of is Jamesithymia.
Bastards.
Sorry, I interrupted you then.
We've had a real letter. Can I read it out?
Yeah.
No.
It says, it's from, can I read out the full name? Is that, where's, I think I can. It's from Miriam anyway.
Yeah.
You guys, it's an amazing way to start a letter. I love it. I discovered your amazing podcast through the ADHD AF episode, and I'm so happy that I found you. The episode with Sam regarding ADHD and perimenopause really blew my mind. As I am from Germany, the whole diagnostic process is, of course, different from the UK, but still kind of complicated and time-consuming, especially in rural areas like the one I live in. Nonetheless, I'm planning on getting an official diagnosis for my suspected ADHD as well as perimenopausal symptoms. And that's because of people like you and your podcasts. So thank you so much for all the information and the encouragement. And thanks for explaining things in a way that my squirrel confetti brain can process. Greetings from Germany. Grüßtig back, Miriam. Thank you. That's a really lovely message.
Oh, I like that. Thank you, Miriam.
Yeah, it was. It was lovely.
Internationally, James. Really good question. We're
What's that?
We're up by exactly one country, it says here on the notes, to 157 countries. What are the chances, James?
Nul point.
This week's country is almost certainly not Belize, where one of the languages spoken, thank you, James, is Yucatec Maya. So a big Bax Cavalli and Kimagulal to two hold-up Belizean bank robbers being played this podcast through a wall at 200 decibels to wear down their resistance.
I like that one.
That was a good one. All right, then, as usual, this neurodivergent cosplaying ex-footballer of a podcast is a tragedy in three parts. We choose a theme. Last two weeks ago was ADHD and alexithymia. And this week, due to the massive and distressing uptick in the media repeating the same old tired bullshit after that Panorama program. We're going to talk about how ADHD is presented in the media and how you can maybe try and advocate for our community in response. As usual, the three parts include the Gwyneth Paltrow of evidence, Alex the Psycho, Education Monkey, telling us about the topic, our personal reflections, and then whatever the last bit is. I've lost track now. Top tips, tippics, trumpeting of spunk, wanking, Gabby Logan, etc. So, Alex, without getting angry, I would say, you know, we wouldn't like you when you're angry, but we just don't like you. Read all about it.
So what are you doing now, James? Are you just doing awful puns that are vaguely related to the thing when you introduced me? It's new.
Pretty much.
I like it. I feel sorry for Gwyneth Paltrow. I think you're too mean. No one's ever told her what she's doing. So she thinks it's fine.
I'm sure people will have told her.
They don't know, do they, with people there like must that, be, famous?
There must I'm be someone sure that told her vaginal steaming isn't a good idea. I mean, somebody must have told her that.
Bless her. Right. A caveat to this bit of media work is that we write for the media as well. We're part of the media, I think that's fair to say. I unwaveringly and uncritically support all elements of the British media. All of them, every single one, even in the face of horrific malpractice. Even, frankly, basic human manners. James, on the other hand, should be the target of any and all recriminations for what I am now being forced to say. That's the to this. Go on, Daily Mail and hate speech. So, as we've covered before, there's quite a unique and persistent societal stigma around ADHD and in adults specifically, which is fueled strongly by myth, general sort of societal misunderstanding, and of course the media, whatever that means to you. And this stigma manifests itself in so many ways. We talk about them a lot. But negative bias towards ADHD contributes to rejection of individuals with the disorder, particularly in an academic setting, education, in work settings, but even in their own relationships with loved ones. The stigma associated with ADHD isn't just rude and unnecessary, James. It can affect loads of things. Treatment adherence, whether you're given treatment in the first place, and treatment efficacy, so how well it works. It can increase and aggravate your ADHD symptoms and your satisfaction with life in general. It can affect the mental health of any individual affected by ADHD, exacerbating depression, anxiety, and lots of other things. This has a real impact on us, people with ADHD. The research has shown that we feel the presence of perceptions considered to be stigmatizing around, particularly around hyperactivity. I mean, I know that. I've hid it for years. Impulsivity, impairments at work, school, engagements in risky behaviour, feeling the stigma around all of those. What goes on in society impacts us. It affects us internally. So that's internalised stigma, which is really damaging. Or the process in which a person cognitively or emotionally absorbs negative messages. That's what that means. Not just messages, but the stereotypes around mental illness. And then we come to believe them and we apply them to ourselves. I was trying to think of the right pronoun then.
I feel all of that. Even if one person just makes a negative comment, I feel all of that and doubt all of it and then feel I have to justify myself. So Jesus, I don't really get involved in the media, which I probably should, but I would imagine that affects people so much more than just one comment from one person to me. Sorry.
No, I'm sure. I'm exactly the same. I always question my diagnosis, even though it's patently obvious. The media, in inverted commas, it's hard to define what that means, but it's historically misrepresented ADHD. And ADHD has been the topic of massive media debate for decades. Why does anyone care? Because there's a huge body of evidence showing that public understanding of disability and illness is influenced by media representation, and poor media representation has social consequences. So when the media does what you know, if one person says it hurts, when the media does it, many people believe it, including us. And that can have a negative impact on, well, any groups covered in this way.
Yeah. You said decades of research. This year, though, has been like particularly shit, though, hasn't it, for some reason?
Yeah, it has. And arguably the last few years have as well. You'd know that, James, if you know, you could understand words. he can read. It's not that he can't read. You don't make that really clear. He just doesn't understand things. ADHD in children and adults has received quite a bit of media coverage and public attention, mostly bad. There's an increasing number, hugely increasing number of children, adolescents and adults being diagnosed because of the mass underdiagnosis that's been going on. And the prescription rate of stimulant medications is increasing. So it's understandable that the media will have noticed that. And all you hear is, it's increasing. Mm. Equally, when you look at the media, especially in the UK, which is fucking dreadful, it's not famous for how it approaches marginalised groups or balance. We have to say some progress has been made in how some marginalised groups are portrayed in the media. It seems that ADHD, as well as a few others, are, you know, near the back of the queue, right next to the trans community and vampires, for example.
Yeah, vampire now, rights now.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I mean, I'm going to read out some headlines. Are you ready? I was going to say something vampirist then and realise that I'd get a lot of letters. Can't that. As a Dracula, I want to complain. Yeah, I'm going to read out
Talk
some
about
headlines.
People in that way.
About ADHD, yeah. Those vampires, ADHD, trans community, not necessarily in that order. Now, the following headlines about ADHD, and this was just 2023, and we're not halfway through the fucker yet. Are you ready for the headline? I'm not a doctor, but I'm almost certain you have ADHD. I'm sorry, but all this ADHD doesn't add up. These are from professors of ADHD. No, they're not. They're from entitled pricks whose dads were famous. I'm sorry, but all this ADHD doesn't add up. ADHD drug Ritalin affects the brain just like cocaine. Doesn't. So why is it being prescribed to children? It's effective and well-tolerated. I've added that bit. ADHD, the truth about its misdiagnosis. It's underdiagnosed. My online test said ADHD, but this diagnosis is flawed. That could be true. We've all got ADHD symptoms, right?
This is fucking making me angry. Are they all shit like this, or are there some good ones?
It's an excellent question. As usual, Sam. Hear that, James? As usual. Now, to provide balance, do you see what I did there, BBC? It's not just finding an opposite uneducated opinion. It's actual evidence-based balance. Not all recent media coverage of ADHD has been negative. Several articles in The New Scientist, including an article by Caroline Williams called ADHD, What's Behind the Recent Explosion in Diagnoses? Adrian Childs, round of applause, piece in The Guardian. And Nancy Doyle, who told me off on Twitter the other day, but she doesn't understand that. I think she's a goddess. Nancy Doyle in Forbes, both in response to Panorama, were much better. But, and it's a big but, James, the more positive pieces are often written because they have to be written in response or following a negative news article or the criticism around a celebrity, letting everybody know that they've been diagnosed rather than, you know, anything just looking at how hard it is to get a diagnosis. I should have said how hard it is and then paused for a ding, but I'm angry. Looking at how we face these issues, community, the actual real problem, went really high. The real problems with predatory diagnosis practices, which the BBC conveniently ignored. And heaven forbid, Just some good information on what ADHD actually fucking is.
See, I can't do the what about ADHD guy, can I now, you bastard? You've basically ADHD blocked. I was going to say cock blocks, but it's not. You've ADHD blocked me or gag blocked me. So most of those pieces from memory are, you know, right wing press, you know, written by polemicists, you know, people that just want to make money off the back of misery. What about the more kind of, I suppose, reliable sources?
Sam's questions are better. Can you just let her do them? ADHD cock blocking. I think that's what we have to call it. No, it is a good question, and I'll answer it as best as I can, Bob. There was a study looking, they'd actually looked at this, James, during the pandemic, and that study, I can't do it. That study found that ADHD was dominantly framed as a medical issue, as opposed to a neurodivergence, in more than 80% of articles on the BBC or CNN websites. In this study, only 13 news articles among 64, that's about 20%, or a fifth, I like numbers, on BBC.com, and 4 among 46, which is bugger all, statistically speaking, on CNN.com, incorporated the neurodiversity approach that would benefit both individuals with ADHD and the whole society. It is both a medical issue and a neurodivergence, I think, is the point.
You know, I've started doing the Brummie accent when I'm talking to myself, walking around the house.
Really?
Because of you, and I'm from the Birmingham area, but I'll say, I'm going to pick that guitar up now and put it on the wall. And then think, why have you just said that in your head, for God's sake? Anyway, right, so...
I wish I could do that.
Well, accents, yeah, you're accent blind, aren't you?
Yeah.
There's a name for that. Okay, so
my Welsh sounds exactly like a 1980s racist comedian doing Pakistani. Exactly.
Are you sure you're just not that?
Like, yeah, accidentally a racist.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
So, if you look at those BBC and CNN statistics, not much better, a bit better. Is this? You know, media's changed, hasn't it? Newspapers are dead. Print media's dead. Is this part of the kind of the clickbait op-ed approach of getting revenue, do you think?
Yeah, I think it is really. And we get that. I get that they're so under pressure, even the BBC, because they have these targets written by their political masters, and we know appointed them. Annoyingly, newspapers are an online presence now, and monetization comes from clicks, comes from adverts. Clicks drive revenue. End of story, really. They are click factories. That's all they are. And controversial opinions drive clicks. So what media outlets have done or feel they have had to do is just to constantly amplify and share the opinions of people who've got no fucking clue what they're talking about. But instead of sharing scientific advances that have been made or evidence-based articles on ADHD, even if they disagree with us, or the impact of it, they share those aggressively negative and reactionary simple thoughts instead of actual evidence. Shame on you.
I like angry Alex and angry Sam.
I do.
Although, as usual, you're still both utter bastards to me. Okay, we'll take a break and we'll come.
I love that one.
Was that for me? Did you shush me?
You did. I did.
Fuck, Jesus Christ. We'll see you in part two.
Bye.
No.
Alex, hi.
Aight. What's up? Hello, Governor.
Welcome back to episode 110 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we are talking everything personal reflections of ADHD in the media, as we always do. It's just one positive comment after another in my experience, so I can't even start. James, you... Let's say, haul yourself out a lot to literally any media organisation you can.
Any,
apart from Dracula's Today, because they haven't invited you. Any personal reflections of you in the media?
Yeah, so they're obviously good journalists, and there are people who have a presence within the media who probably, I don't think you should call them journalists. Again, the kind of the polemicists who, because they're famous, get paid a lot of money. As Stuart Lee put it, and I'm going to misquote this, you know, to have their polemic opinions to a deadline every Thursday for money. You've you've got more journalistic experience than me because you did work with the Mirror, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you see, you'll have seen the you'll know far more about the process when it comes to getting a story commissioned, getting it past the sub editor and an editor, and the changes they want you to make. So I'm not that aware about that. I've done more, I suppose, TV work. And what I would say,
and you do your little talks as well, don't you?
I do, yeah, I do, but I don't like to talk about them.
No.
And what I would say is, I think it's really important. The bit you said at the start, which I've forgotten, it was something about journalists or the media. I don't know. It was boring. But there are obviously good people in all these organisations that we as a charity have been working with the BBC checking scripts for some of their non-factual programmes to make sure that they're representing ADHD appropriately. But it seems like the more news type part of it hasn't made that progress. You know, I imagine you'll probably know this, Alex, that editors would reject or want changed kind of good news pieces or just, you know, factual pieces which might provide some balance, because who's going to read an article which just says, oh, actually ADHD is quite serious and the NHS needs to be better resourced to do this. It's not in their wheelhouse.
Do that.
And the thing I suppose that really fucks me off the most is it's the impact that's never considered. Now, I get the kind of the people that are making financial decisions because they want their outlet to make money and for them to be successful and to keep a job. But they somebody at whatever level, whether it's editor, sub-editor, journalist, genuinely doesn't seem to give a fuck about the people they're targeting. And it's not just the ADHD community. We know this. Historically, it's been all the different marginalized demographics. The complaints processes that are put in place aren't sufficiently robust. So if you look at the complaints about that Panorama programme, it was the last time I saw the second most complained about episode. But the BBC, because they have to publish their complaints, actually made a note in brackets saying, but complaints were promoted online. So rather than just saying, yeah, loads of complaints, they tried to add this little thing to say, oh, yeah, but actually people were making people complain, which really fucked me off.
Yeah.
And As we know, I don't care about myself. I don't care what people think about my ADHD. Everyone can get fucked. But the anger I feel when this happens to our community is visceral. The little sadness I had, last week, which just happened to coincide with you visiting. I have nothing to do with you visiting. that initiated my week of suicidal ideation. Absolutely. That was due to that the attack, due to reading the messages we've had, due to speaking to people, and due to kind of feeling the pain of knowing what this has caused. So that's my personal, those are my personal reflections. Mrs. ADHD, what about you?
This is a difficult one for me because so quite a while ago, I had to shut myself off from everything, all news stories and everything, because I was getting, you know, with justice sensitivity and just being sensitive, I was taking so much on board and feeling so much for other people and then feeling so angry and that I had to stop reading the news and Kate, I had to come off Facebook because I just found that was negative and lots of news stories were shared on there. And I've kind of protected myself and I feel bad for that because that's exactly what they fucking want, isn't it? For people that are left wing and might do something about it to close themselves off. And so I feel bad for that. But at the same time, I see kind of negative stories like the Panorama story. And obviously you knew about it a couple of weeks before and we had a discussion about it. And I was like, I don't want to cover it at all. I don't want to bring attention to it because I felt like and when I'm sent news stories or things through messages and emails, I don't click on them because I don't want to direct any fucking traffic towards it because they don't care whether it's good or bad press that they get. As long as they get the viewing figures, that's all that they want. So I kind of shut myself down from that. And I never know what the right thing is to do because obviously, I don't know. It's a really difficult one for me, this. And I feel bad that I have to protect myself. And then I never know what it's best for me to do. So I don't know if I've got much to add on this. What about you, Alex?
Firstly, psychologically, from a mental health perspective, if the news is affecting you, turn it off. It's the advice from all psychological professionals. I've read it many, many times because it's not healthy for you. That, again, self-care allows you to be powerful. I've had to do the same thing, especially with Facebook, because it's terrible. And more increasingly with Twitter. I think to what James said, we are sensitive to the pressures. There's so many amazing journalists. And the BBC, oh my God, some of the local journalists on BBC are some of the best journalists I've ever seen in my life. When I worked at the Mirror, don't know if I told you I did that, you don't get editorial. You know that, right? You write it, the sub-editor, and then their editor. They decide how it goes out. You don't see the final edits. You're not even asked. And that's really important to know what James and I write for the conversation that's been repeated in Independent, some amazing places. The conversation fantastically insists that that is repeated verbatim, whatever, scriptatum, I don't know what the written thing is. So I think most BBC journalists are being let down by the politicisation of the management, and we see that, if it helps. I don't know if it does.
Definitely.
For anyone, are we? What I would say then is we have to move away from the idea that everything's up for discussion and everything should be engaged with. If you shine a spotlight on trolls, you're paying their mortgage and nothing else. That's why, as Sam said, we deliberated about the Panorama response. We don't tend to respond to all these videos from knobheads that people send us all the time, saying, I don't think it's real. But this is the fucking BBC. It's not the Daily Mail, which should never, ever be shared or referenced or engaged with in any way, because they'll literally say anything for you to hate reply. This is the BBC. To the Mail and so on, any click in hate or anger is money for them, and they laugh at you for doing it. They laugh at you. But the BBC isn't funded like that. And the reason they shouldn't be doing it is because if someone says you shouldn't exist, there isn't a balanced argument to be had for that. You can't argue that. There's not two sides there. Discussing the validity of science is always okay. So you can discuss whether ADHD exists. Of course you can. There's a big discussion to be had about it. You can discuss the science of it. That's great. It's important. Especially as the science is mostly poor quality, as we know. Funding reasons, not bad scientists. But one aggressive opinion isn't balanced. It's bullshit. I guess problems without solutions aren't helpful, are they? It's not what we do. So what can we do about it? And that's, we can shine a light on people without light on them at the moment. Working class men I talk to across the country are hiding in the communities. They're not able to cry. We are not able to cry. We're not able to share these things. We're not able to discuss it. We can amplify diverse voices who are already doing that. For Rachel Doe, for example, on Twitter, lots of people are doing intersections of their own culture, gender, race. There's some Draculas doing it. The lot, frankly. Let's amplify their voices if we haven't got a voice of our own.
I feel very seen. You're speaking about my community there, because you know we've got a lot of bad press over the last 6,000 years.
You actually. Have, yeah.
We have. Right, we've got time for a game, Al.
I felt yay.
I'm in a great mood for that. Can you have you noticed?
I think you're 11 9 up.
Yeah. Good.
Right. I haven't done the t-shirt one, have I? The t-shirt merch one.
No. Can you tell people what your t-shirt actually says?
So my t-shirt. Go on. No, you.
It says "Making Alex a Murderer," which I guess is a reference to a podcast, isn't it? That's the
no television program. Right. So the quiz is about making this t-shirt. It's an iron-on. Thing, a system called Cricut, where you cut out stuff and you iron it on. Obviously didn't get it right. This wasn't the first one that I did. You'd be unsurprised to know. What did I get wrong, which was obviously due to my ADHD? Did I, A, because you have to iron it on, did I burn the table just slightly? Did I, two, trip over the ironing cable, which was stretched over, well, as far as ironing cable stretch between the plug socket and the table? Or did I not turn the iron on and spend a minute pressing it down to get the transfer to transfer, and then got confused when it hadn't? Oh, that was number C, by the way.
I think, oh, that's a really good one. I don't think you tripped over the ironing cable because at your age, if you'd had a fall like that, there'd be a lot of damage.
See, I would have gone for that one.
I think it's that one. I don't think it's the table burn because you've done that so many times, it looks like paisley on your table. So I don't think you turned it on. I think you're just rubbing a T-shirt with cold iron. Look, if I can see your face, you're all excited that I got it wrong.
I know you got it wrong. You got it wrong.
Oh, look at him. Yeah. I've never seen you so upbeat.
Yeah, no, I tripped over the iron cable.
I thought that was most likely.
So it wasn't even the nearest plug, Al. It was a plug which was as far as an ironing cable would stretch. So it was almost like waist height. And I just walked into it, fell over, dragged the iron onto the floor, and it pissed water everywhere. It's not broken, apparently, and obviously hurt my back.
What about the carpet?
Yeah, is it all right?
What do you mean the carpet that you burned by ironing an item of clothing on it? And it's still fucking got an iron-shaped mark on it. And you did that within 6 months of moving into this house. No, it was in the kitchen. So I landed on the very hard, not laminate, lino floor. Yeah, 11-10, Al. 11-10.
Unbelievable.
Wow, creeping back up.
On that wonderfully happy note, we'll take a break and we'll come back for some coming in your face. Yeah, whatever you call it. Part three.
Bullshit.
Welcome back to episode 110 of the ADHD Adults podcast, where we're talking about ADHD in the media. This is the part where we share our top tips.
Part of the podcast.
Podcast? Did I say podcast?
I don't think so. If you did, no one noticed.
James.
Yeah.
Do you want to share your top tips? Sorry.
Oh my. Okay. Yeah.
That's a ding. Whoever heard one.
I'll throw my tadpoles all over your chest. Right.
You've only got one big one.
one lonely tadpole. Right. It's a tough one. This because again. I totally get that for many people that don't share this, don't support this, don't point people towards this approach. It is right in a way. And I also agree when we chatted about this, because we had prior knowledge, I see quite a few organizations knowing that this was going to be seen and absolutely knowing the knock-on effects, which have since happened. That's why we made the decision to try and support people without pointing to it and advertising necessarily when it was, but just to identify what was wrong with that particular piece. But it's the same with other impactful pieces which are going to hurt our community. I think as a person who consumes the media, it's really difficult when you've got, whether you're undiagnosed, self-diagnosed, diagnosed, you've got that doubt, you've got that imposter syndrome, you've got maybe family members or friends who already don't support your diagnosis or self-diagnosis or future diagnosis. And the stuff that we've heard from people has been devastating. So, So if you've got social power like us, speak out. You know, if complain, there are, you know, Ofcom does have a system for complaints about media. And
take it seriously as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, share good information. Be mindful, obviously, you might meet resistance. But the bigger thing is obviously for those people who've got someone in their life, whether it's a partner, a family member, a work colleague or a friend who have taken this as an opportunity to embolden their position of indifference towards their ADHD, is that, again, that's on them, it's not on you. And I know it's really hard, but if anybody questions the validity of your symptoms, they don't share your lived experience. They don't know how you feel inside your head. And it's difficult, but try as hard as you can. Ding, it's not a ding. Try to just accept that you are valid and that what you've been through is valid. And some cunt writing in the Times doesn't know you or what's going on in your head. Sam?
Good.
Yeah, I think like Alex said, you know, if it is bothering you, then don't engage. And we always say that the way we try and combat it is just by spreading evidence-based information and, you know, trying to make people aware. I think as well, if you see positive posts in the media, engage with them, and let's kind of direct traffic towards them so that they get more viewing figures. And yes, obviously complain if you're not happy with it as well. And also I'd say there's lots of evidence to show this, actually, that you can't change people's opinions. There are going to be some people that have got preconceived opinions, that negative press comes out and it's just confirmation bias. It just confirms what they already think, and they'll go on the attack, and you can never change their mind. In fact, if you give them object evidence, there's evidence to prove that just makes them dig down even more. So I think sometimes you can kind of get involved with online arguments, and I know you do this, James, a lot, which I can't do, and there's just no, you have to accept that you're not going to be able to change their mind. So if you're entering into an argument with them about something, don't do it thinking I'm going to change their mind, I'm going to give them evidence and change their mind, because it's never going to happen. All it does is fucking destroy your mental health. And I know, because I've been there so many times, and that's how I ended up having to protect myself. So I think the main thing is protect yourself, just keep spreading evidence, information, don't try not to get overly emotional. I know that it's really hard not to do that. Ding. But if you do, then pull away, ding
ding,
maybe and just protect yourself and just hide away for a little while. I think that's all I've got to say. Alex.
Yeah, all of that, really. I completely agree. There's some really, be careful of criticizing people who are facing the right way and say something you disagree with, because that's, opinions are allowed. I had a really great conversation with someone who wrote for the Times Higher Education this week, and I was saying, I don't think that's true. And they were arguing. And then Nancy, is it Doyle, gave some evidence for her perspective. And actually, it was just a good conversation, because there's no right here and there's no wrong. And it's okay. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Good conversations around people who, or having this conversation in good faith, or please don't get aggressive with them, and your perspective on it is allowed. Telling them they're wrong isn't helpful. You won't change anyone's mind, as Sam says, but you can support critical thought. And the best way to do that is to start with yourself. So what I do is this is tips. So this is what I do. Okay. The first thing I ask myself is, how do I know this is true that someone said? How do I know? How do they think? Why do they think it's true? How do I know it's true? The other thing I do is avoid any simple answer to a complex question. All ADHD is, for example, trauma. All ADHD is just autism. All ADHD is this, whatever. And don't engage unless you think the other party is acting in good faith. I think that's really, really important. Otherwise, you're playing chess against a pigeon. You don't win and you end up covered in shit. That's it. Nothing else. Then they don't care.
Pigeons do care. I fucking love pigeons. Don't go on the attack about pigeons.
Pigeons do care. Of all the things that you're going to say that I would have predicted, that comes probably last on the list. I
fucking love pigeons. Carry on, yeah. Sorry.
You've said a lot, but that takes the biscuit, Alex. That is not okay. Ironically, pigeons do take biscuits. So this is what I want to say about confirmation bias that Sam said is it's more powerful than anything else in ourselves, in me. So my top tip is look for your own confirmation bias. If you read something that you want to be true, be supernaturally careful with it. Otherwise, you might end up like I once did, which was for a year proudly quoting Einstein for a quote he never said in an article about like scientific truth. It was very embarrassing. This is where that superpower narrative gets its power. We want that to be true, so we say it's true. It feels, it's a great idea. It's not true, and not in the right way. The same as the hunter-gatherer idea of ADHD, the CBD oil thing, the idea that goldfish have bad memories, isn't true.
Oh, they don't?
The idea that not at all. They're not very bright. But
How do you know?
Well, you know as well. If you go up to a goldfish tank and you just sprinkle your hands over the bowl, right, like you're pretending to feed them, they'll come to the surface because they've remembered that somebody might be feeding them. Oh. That, by definition, isn't a 2-second memory, is it?
Is it? Is it? I got confused and I thought you meant bad memories, like they'd had a traumatic release from the
it's that tall fucker keeps pretending to feed me. Yeah, no, they haven't. You know, this is why we think chameleons can change colour to camouflage with their environment.
They can't.
Because we want it to be true. No, no, they never have been able to.
Oh, my this God.
I know.
I'm it's, loving this. This is confirmation bias. Can we just carry on with this?
We get the, this is why MBTI, we think that that works, but it's horoscopes for LinkedIn people.
I don't
it's not
know
real.
Any of that means.
That's beware.
Or baby in the bathwater.
Yeah, I heard that.
It that means throwing out good bits because you're angry with bad bits. So throwing out BBC journalists because you're angry with the BBC. It's not, you lose the good bit by throwing out the bad bit and everything.
Why don't people just say that then?
I think because idioms can be
official. Yeah,
we don't joke about disability in that sense. It's the subject, not the target of our joke, I think, which is why I'm not about to say, did you get that autism diagnosis? Why don't we have zero flowery language? Somebody I work with who's fantastically open about the struggles they have with autism told me the other day, why can't people just have a list on their chests of all their interests and I can decide whether I talk to them or not? It's one of the fucking best ideas I've ever heard in my life, which is possibly my autism showing right there. I think beware seeing what you want to see and just beware questioning. That'll be my top tip. Question your own confirmation bias first and ask yourself, how do I know this is true? Just because I want it to be. That's it, really. That's my tip.
I think that's really good. That's a really good one.
It was. I've got one I forgot, if that's okay. It's actually a tip for journalists. I was chatting with the CEO of ADHD UK, Henry, about this whole thing.
Didn't invite me to that meeting, did you, James?
I didn't know.
You've
didn't.
Got enough meetings, Alex. You've got enough to do. You're overcommitting yourself.
And he said something, which again, we like stealing these idioms again, don't we? Like if you've met one person with ADHD, you've met one person with ADHD. But he said, and I thought this was brilliant, nothing about us without us. So if you're a journalist and you're going to write something about ADHD, then get somebody in the community to write the article with you or to check it. Don't just fucking write it thinking you know what ADHD is.
That gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, I think I've heard that used by the non-white communities and disability communities. I've never thought of it for us. Brilliant. It's so true, isn't it? It's so accurate. Representation fucking matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
Love it, James. Should have saved it Thursday. Let yourself down.
Right. You can say it again. So... people will have forgotten. Sorry, James.
That was episode 110 of the ADHD Adults Podcast, where we talked about ADHD in the media. If by a miracle you enjoyed this, as usual, why not support the charity on the link provided, because otherwise Alex is going to have to carry on letting the Montgolfier Brothers cosplayers use his head as the centerpiece for Sunday afternoon meetups. If you want to get in touch, the hot air balloonists, I'm honestly running out of things that are vaguely balloon shaped all round. So it's getting quite obscure now, to be honest.
Maybe we should revert to the actual shape of his head. Mind you, that would
No, that's not. It's slightly weaselly, so I prefer the round.
It's actually quite gaunt and thin.
As usual, if you want to get in touch, then contact us on Discord, socials, Facebook, podcast things, goodbyes. No, goodbyes is when we say goodbye. I read it out. I did it on Burgundy. Fuck's sake, see you soon.
Bye. Oh, golf,
bye all. Trigger warning, Claxon. Claxon.